जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा हरि बोल हरे
Today, Pancha Gaudiya Prabhu has requested that we continue hearing the instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave for the temple here. We would like to concentrate primarily on our devotion to their lordships, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Sri Sri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sundar, and Lalita Vishaka. Now, you'll notice that in every other ISKCON temple, there's no other Krishna Balaram deities except for one other temple, and that's in New Mayapur, that's in France. The Krishna Balaram were installed there after the Krishna Balaram were installed here. That's a farm project, beautiful agricultural area. So Srila Prabhupada did some quite revolutionary things here at the installation of this temple. The first deity that we'll discuss is Srila Prabhupada himself. Has anyone heard of a personality installing a deity of themselves while they're still present on the planet? Unheard of. This is the only murti that Srila Prabhupada installed of himself on the entire planet. Even Harisari Prabhu had asked Prabhupada later, can we make small murtis of you, Prabhupada, to distribute to the devotees? And Prabhupada said, no, now is not the time. He refused. So this murti of Srila Prabhupada, there was a slight misunderstanding. Hiranyagarbha Prabhu, he came and asked last night, he was told that the murti was installed after Prabhupada disappeared, but no. The installation was done at the same time as all of the deities in 1975 on Ram Nomi. And the second head pujari we had, Drupada Prabhu, one day he was bringing the Rajbhog offering to the deities. At that time we had 10 plates. And he put the plate for Prabhupada in front of the Prabhupada murti. And suddenly Prabhupada's servant came and said, Prabhupada wants his plate. And Drupada got completely confused. He said, well, I'm just making the offering. I can't give the plate till the offering's over. And the servant said, no, Prabhupada wants to eat the plate during the offering. So Prabhupada was showing us the non-difference between his murti and himself. We had another example of this while cooking for Srila Prabhupada, because we were always trained in the early days that first you offer everything to the Guru, because we're not qualified to approach the Supreme Lord directly. You offer to the Guru, and the Guru offers your offering through the parampara to Krishna. So while cooking for Prabhupada, we never considered that we had to offer anything to Krishna before we brought it to Prabhupada. We were making the offering to Prabhupada directly. But in Prabhupada's service, the servants would always change, the cooks would always change. So each cook, each servant had their own way of doing things for Prabhupada. So one day we were cooking here for Prabhupada with Pishima. Pishima was doing the cooking, Prabhupada's sister. And Brahmananda came in. He didn't usually come in to do the service because he was the secretary. But he came in that day. Everything had to be perfect for Brahmananda. And if you didn't make it perfect, you risked the chance of getting crushed by him physically. He was famous. So he looked at us both and he said to us very strongly, is it offered? And Pishima and I looked at each other because we had the same feeling that you offered to Prabhupada. But Pishima understood Brahmananda's nature, So she raised up her arms and she said, Jai Shri Nrisingadev. And then he took the offering and it was over. So this is our non-different Srila Prabhupada. If you ever want to take direct shelter of Srila Prabhupada, he's here with us. He installed himself here. Next we have Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now when we first came here and there was no temple, we did have across the street one of Prabhupada's dear godbrothers, Sri Ban Maharaj. He was still alive at the time. And when he came back unsuccessful from his England preaching, he was, although he had been sent by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he couldn't fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. So he came back, and rather than continue preaching in the West, he decided to open an Oriental Institute of Philosophy, IOB, Institute of Oriental Philosophy. And he got from the government this large tract of land over here. Now, he wanted to spiritualize. His concept was good, but again, if you're not doing what the spiritual master asks you to do, then it's failure. So he opened this up, and at the entrance, it didn't have so many buildings then, at the entrance of the main building, he installed a deity of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati outside. It just had a little covering on it. So we used to go over there to chant japa, and sometimes he would even let us stay over there on special occasions. It was always empty, just full of cobwebs and bats and things, ghosts. So we would go there and we would see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati offer our obeisances, but there was no worship going on, no devotees, no kirtan. He was just a statue there. Failure. So then, when Srila Prabhupada installed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we saw what real worship of the Guru means. He had successfully fulfilled the order of his spiritual master. His spiritual master was present here to see the fruits of that hard labor, Prabhupada going to the West, bringing his Western disciples here. He was being worshipped properly now with bhoga, with proper decoration, with kirtan. So here we see the success of a disciple who has pleased his spiritual master and then installed his spiritual master here. Next we have Sri Sri Gaur Nittai. Now, many of you are forced to hear the Apasampradaya mantra going on behind us. This was started by a former follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who was rejected by him. He became Sahajiya and he created his own mantra. You'll never find that mantra in any shastra. He concocted it and fabricated it. And also had a fabricated Sahajiya philosophy to go along with it. So Sri Sri Gaur Nittai are worshipped in this temple according to the worship given by Srila Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis. That is, we pray to Nityananda Prabhu, who is non-different from Sri Balaram, that he will free us from our material desires and our hankerings. And by his mercy, by being compassionate to the fallen conditioned souls, we will one day, by following the instructions of the six Goswamis, be able to understand and enter into the conjugal loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. It is only by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu that we can become free from material hankerings. Now previously, even now you'll see them, if you go deep into the forests here, you'll see the tapasvis, the Nangi Babas. They go without any material possessions whatsoever, even in the winter time. They perform severe austerities by living here in Braj and simply wandering in the forest. They don't want to take birth again in the material world. And their tapasya is to undergo material austerities. No clothing, no possessions, no residence. They simply wander. So Srila Prabhupada explained that we are not able to do that. But we are performing a different type of severe tapasya. And our tapasya is what Nityananda Prabhu was doing. He was trying to preach to the poor, crazy fellows of Kali Yuga. That is a great tapasya, to preach to the conditioned souls. So every day we must pray to Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to please give us the strength to carry out this severe tapasya of preaching to the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, because that is the tapasya given to us by our spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared simply because in the form of Krishna, he could not understand the deep love that Radharani had for himself. In order to understand that love, he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So rather than artificially trying to understand the love of Radha and Krishna and forcing ourselves into their conjugal affairs as spectators, we should rather meditate on the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he lost himself in simply remembering the qualities of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Now how do we do that? Because none of us are on the level, of course. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was setting the example of how a pure devotee loves Radha and Krishna. We do that by following the instructions given to us in the Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is the manual for the Vaishnavas, how to fill our 24 hours a day in devotional service. That and Upadeshamrit. Upadeshamrit is specifically for the renounced order, how one becomes a Goswami or Sannyasi. These two books were translated by Srila Prabhupada, so that for the rest of the future, every Vaishnava would know how to behave throughout his whole lifetime. The 32 offenses, we have to study them carefully, and we should not misconstrue them. There was a misconstruence of one of the 32 offenses at the opening of the temple. We had a temple commander, Harisori Prabhu. Now, we didn't have many guests at that time because the temple was so far away, but the locals would come, they would offer their respects, and Prabhupada instituted selling the Mahaprasadam here. We had a little table. So one old man, he had bought a dona of prasadam for 1 rupee, and he was standing in front of Radha and Krishna, and he started to eat the prasadam in front of the deities. Now Harisori had remembered from somewhere that you're not supposed to eat prasadam in front of the deities. So he told the man to go out over there. Go out of the temple. You're not supposed to eat prasadam in front of the deities. And there was a young man standing next to the old man. He said, "What are you doing? You can't kick someone out of the temple. That's also an offense." And the man started to shout at Harisori. So Harisori didn't know how to handle the situation, so he grabbed the young man and dragged him out of the temple. Now, the young man was an intelligent young man, and he started to really make a ruckus and tell all of the neighbors that he had been kicked out of the Angrezi temple. And the attention, he went right to Prabhupada also and told Prabhupada. So Prabhupada called Harisori, and he asked Harisori, "Where did you read this, that you can't take prasadam in front of the deities?" And Harisori went blank. He said, I thought I read it somewhere in one of your books, Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Show me where you read it. You are the one who's committed the offense. By dragging this person out of the temple, this news will be spread all over Vrindavan, and we'll get a bad name that way." So he said to Harisori, "You go and find this person, bring him back, and apologize to him." So understanding the nectar of devotion properly is how we avoid offenses. We should not misuse it and commit more offenses that way. Understand? For instance, we should never correct a person in front of the deities. We should never yell in front of the deities. We should never praise another in front of the deities. These instructions, these avoidances should be branded in our minds to be avoided, because it's by the offenses that we fall down and away from devotional service. So that is the importance of worshiping Gaura Nithai, and to understand their worship, we have nectar devotion, and for the more advanced devotees, we have Sri Upadesha Amrita for our instruction manuals. Next, we have Sri Sri Krishna Balaram and Gomata and her little baby cow. Now, Prabhupada explains throughout all of his books the lifestyle in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is a cow town. Everyone has to work very hard 24 hours a day. And what are they doing? They're taking care of the cows and they're planting their crops. Now Krishna, he carries a flute, because with the flute, he calls the cows back. Balaram, he carries a plow. Balaram's in charge of agriculture. That's why he doesn't carry a plow just to look nice. He carries a plow because they have to work hard all day. Anyone has ever pulled a plow with the bullocks? Very hard work. And he's carrying that heavy plow on his shoulder for a purpose. It's not golden, it's wood, and it's heavy. And if you go into the fields here, you'll see little deities of Baldauji everywhere. Why? Because the farmers, they take their strength from Balaram. They love Dauji. They love Balaram. Because they know he's just like them. He carries a plow. So we have the two young cowherd boys working hard all day long. They wouldn't even come back for their prasadam in the daytime. They'd go out in the morning. Krishna would tell his mother, unless you put shoes on my cows, I'm not going to wear shoes. They wouldn't wear shoes. They get all covered in dust. It's hard work. And it was hot then also. You can read how Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were sweating, and they went to take water in the Jamuna, but the Jamuna had become polluted just like it is now. They drank the water and they died. They died, and Krishna had to bring them back to life and kick out Kaliya, just like we hope that Krishna will again kick out those who are polluting the Jamuna now. And then in the winter time, it was so cold. When Krishna would go out, he would go up onto Dashashva, what's the name of the hill? Yes, the one where the 12 suns appeared, just to warm up Krishna, because it was cold, especially in the morning time. Anyone who's had to take care of cows, the cows have to be milked early in the morning. They're crying, the babies are crying, the milk is flowing. No matter what season it is, you have to get up early in the morning and milk the cows. It's hard work. When Krishna would wake up, he wouldn't take a bath right away. He would walk to his father's goshala in Borokar, where there were 9 lakh cows, and he would do the milking. The cows wouldn't give the milk until they saw Krishna. They were just waiting for him. He would go milk the cows, then come back, take his bath, take some prasadam, and then go out and take care of the cows all day. That is the Goloka Vrindavan that we are aspiring to go to. This is our practice time. What are we doing here? Are we taking care of the cows? Are we working hard 24 hours a day? So this practice, seeing Krishna Balaram tending the cows, taking care of the agriculture, that's to remind us, that's what we're going to be doing when we go back to Godhead. The study is to help us understand what's going on in the spiritual world. Sooner or later, we're going to have to start doing those things. brushing the cows, cleaning the gober, all the things that Krishna and Balaram have to do every day. So that's Krishna Balaram. Then we have the ultimate Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Lalita Vishakha. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada did discuss having the Astasakhis at 42 inches. Then he said it might be a little too cumbersome. He told Gurudas to go to the Astasakhi temple and see how they set it up. Ultimately, it was decided that Lalita and Vishakha would only be installed because of the space. They're a little smaller than Krishna and Balaram. Now, approaching Sri Sri Radha Krishna is the aspiration of every living entity. We are all expansions of Krishna's pleasure energy. We were all created to bring pleasure to Krishna. Krishna expands. One of his expansions is Srimati Radharani. From Srimati Radharani, all these Sahasra Sata Lakshmis expand to assist her. We are expansions of those Lakshmis in the sense that we are also meant to give pleasure to Krishna. I'm just quoting what Prabhupada says. I'm not making this up. So our purpose in life is to please Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That's why we were created. Now how we become perfected in that is the four sampradayas. Depending upon which sampradaya you are part of, there'll be different tattvas to understand. Our tattva is, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described, we are servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of the gopis. Prabhupada explained many times, we should never aspire to become gopis. He said that is another form of Mayavad. If you think, I am a gopi, or I shall become a gopi, he said that again is ahankar. Rather, we should aspire to become the dust at the feet of the gopis. He also cited that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never spoke about the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis in public. For the public, Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Ji Ki Jai. For the public, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Sankirtan, and Srila Prabhupada also followed that example. You can listen to all of the 1,700 and some lectures of Srila Prabhupada. He never spoke publicly of the intimate pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj, when he wrote the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he did not personally associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Leela. His family, he was a devotee of Nityananda Prabhu, and there was an upset in his family because one of his family members did not accept Nityananda Prabhu as the Supreme Lord. So in a dream one night, Nityananda Prabhu came to him, told him to leave immediately and come to Vrindavan. He left that very night, although he was an old man. He came here and he came in contact with the Goswamis. He heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, who had kept a diary of all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate pastimes in Jagannath Puri. From hearing every day at Radhakund from that diary, he was able to compose Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the last portion, Antya Leela, is described the expressions of ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now those expressions of ecstasy, you will never hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, I have now become a gopi, I'm with Radha and Krishna. His expression was always one of separation. Why have you taken me away? I just want to be with them. Just as in the Sad Goswami Astakam, the six Goswamis never said, last night I saw Radha and Krishna, They were dancing, they were doing this and that. We are not a spectator sport of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. This is the major difference between the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and those of the Babaji's. We do not take part in spectator sport of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Our mood is one of separation. And Prabhupada explains that the more separation you feel from Radha and Krishna, the more you are advancing. Prabhupada gave another example, that there's a rumor, it's a local rumor here in Vrindavan, that Radha and Krishna come every night to Seva Kunj for their Rasalila. Have we all heard that? They say, don't go there at night, because then you'll see Radha and Krishna and you'll become crazy or you'll die. So the devotees, very early, they asked Prabhupada about that, because they were all living down at Seva Kunj at the Radha Damodar temple. Prabhupada said that's a rumor that was just construed by the locals, the uneducated locals and the Sahajiyas. He said once, 5,000 years ago, Radha and Krishna had their Ras Leela there. But every night they're having their Ras Leela in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. He said, do you think that Radha and Krishna are so cheap that you can just go there and see their pastimes? So we have to identify the real from the illusory. And that comes by studying Nectar of Devotion and the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should not be carried away. Now, one time we had another godbrother. He came here very early before the devotees had come, and he got all mixed up with the Gaudiya Math. And in the Gaudiya Math, they're mostly interested in Siddha Pranali, and in your Siddha Deha, who you are in the spiritual world. So at one time he came to Prabhupada in Mayapur and he inquired. This was Rishikesh Ananda Prabhu. He asked all the questions to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was annoyed, but he answered them. He said, Prabhupada, what about this Siddha Pranali? That means finding out, the Babaji's tell you who you are, which manjari you are, things like that. He said that I heard that Siddha Krishna Das Babaji, he was going to, this is Rishikesh Ananda asking Prabhupada, he was going to commit suicide in Manasaganga because his Guru Maharaj had already left the planet, so he couldn't find out his Siddha Deha, who he was. Prabhupada just smashed the whole thing. He said that your relationship with your Guru is eternal. And he quoted the sixth sloka of the Gurudvastakam. The spiritual master is very dear because he is expert in assisting the gopis, who at different times make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavan. I offer my most humble obeisances under the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So Prabhupada explained that every disciple considers his spiritual master to be the most dear servant of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. That's the mood of the disciple. He said that the relationship is eternal, so that whenever the disciple is ready to understand his eternal Siddha Deha, get his Siddha Pranali, the spiritual master is there with him eternally, and he will give it. It has nothing to do with the vapu, with the bodily presence or disappearance of the spiritual master. So this completely smashes. Anytime someone tells you, anytime that Srila Prabhupada is no longer here, you have to go to someone, find out who you are, complete rubbish. The spiritual master is eternally with the disciple. He can inform the disciple at any time what his service is in the spiritual world. Now here we have, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, their lordships for us to worship. But again, our mood is, we want to become the dust at their feet by praying to Nityananda Prabhu, Please remove all the dirt in my heart, my material desires, so I may do some service. So now, after introducing their lordships, we come to the point of service. Many times, now, how many of you attend Prabhupada's Mangalartik at the Samadhi every day? How many of you do not attend Prabhupada's Mangalartik at the Samadhi? It's about 60-40. Unfortunately, just by the course of time, we're singing the Guru Vastakam only to Srila Prabhupada in his Samadhi, and therefore the devotees who come for the main Mangalartik don't get to hear these valuable prayers every day, and they don't get to make their commitment to Prabhupada and their gurus first thing in the morning. We're supposed to be singing this three times a day to the spiritual master. Why? Because all of our service that we're supposed to be doing is contained in these eight verses written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. So when it comes to service to the deities, Prabhupada would repeatedly quote the third verse. The spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So two things are mentioned here. Shringara, tan, mandira marjanado. Now, Shringar, you have to have a special qualification. You have to have your Gayatri mantra and be trained. That's the internal service that goes on early in the morning and throughout the day. You have to have Brahman initiation. And you have to be very steady in your sadhana. So that's the internal service that goes on. That's the Shringar. That goes on first. Then comes, tan means then, mandira marjanado. So what does marjana mean? It's in all the Indian languages. What does marjan mean? Cleaning. Yeah, it means rubbing, right? Who cleans the temple every day? Jai. These are the ones following the instructions. So those of us who don't have the opportunity to do the Shringar, we have the opportunity to clean Krishna's temple. And that temple is expanded to the whole compound. We can clean the temple here. We can clean the temple outside. We can clean the ashrams. Everything belongs to Sri Sri Radha Krishna here. It's all an extension of their temple. So all of us should be engaged either in the Shringar or in the cleansing of Krishna's temple. This should be voluntary. No one should force us to engage in these activities. We should want to do these things because it's the two things that we get to do for Radha and Krishna every day. If we want to really be servants of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, this is what we do. We clean their temple. We come in association with the dust of their lotus feet. Now, one time Prabhupada was speaking about the dust of Vrindavan. And a devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you're talking about the dust as if it's a personality." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, everything is personality in the spiritual world. Just like when Hanuman went to Lanka, the personality of Sri Lanka, the city, came out and confronted him, and he destroyed that personality." So here, even the dust is a person. And the devotee couldn't understand it. So Prabhupada gave an example. He said, if you talk to the dust anywhere else, the dust won't respond to you. But here, if you make a prayer to the dust, that dust will deliver whatever you want for Krishna's service. So that means it's the dust is a person. You can talk to the dust here. He said that the example we should follow is Akura Maharaj. Akura Maharaj, he entered Vrindavan in the most perfect mentality. First of all, he didn't force himself here. Remember, Mathura and all of Krishna's family members just lived 8 kilometers away. Not one of them came here. Only Akura, he was sent here by none other than Kamsa. And he saw that, although he was being sent here on a maligned task, he saw that as the mercy of the Lord, because he was allowed to enter the Dham. And the whole time he was entering the Dham, he was remembering, oh, now I'll be able to see Krishna and Balaram with the dust on their bodies coming back in the evening time. He was just meditating on them and feeling intense separation from them while they were engaged in their pastimes. And when he reached the outskirts of Vrindavan, he got off of his chariot and he rolled in the dust. Prabhupada told us to do that whenever we approach Vrindavan. We should roll in the dust. So this dust that we're associating with, we cannot estimate the value. That's why we should all clean the temple every day. Have a broom nearby. Take the broom away from the workers. Have the workers work somewhere else, and you become the so-called workers. Understand? This is completely opposed to what Prabhupada wanted, having the hired workers clean the temple. He wanted us to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna by cleaning the temple. Everyone's ready to clean the temple now? Jai. All right. So then we'll go on to the next service, and that is kirtan, which Prabhupada says is our main service. This was before the temple opened even. One of the managers wrote to Prabhupada that we're making kirtan the center. 1974, it was during the height of the construction, November 74, and everything was going on in Prabhupada's house, as you've heard. Still, they were meeting every morning and evening for kirtan. And Prabhupada, he wrote back, he said, because I've heard that you've made kirtan the center, I know that everything is going on well. Now that one sentence carried on. And when the temple opened, Prabhupada had us do 24-hour kirtan. Now the 24-hour kirtan was twofold. There were two main purposes. One was, of course, glorification of their lordships. The second was to make sure that all the devotees were fully engaged. Because even then, Prabhupada noticed that there was a lot of extra eating and sleeping going on. So he said that anyone who didn't have an engagement should be put in the 24-hour kirtan. Now then the managers, there was a flux of managers going from one GBC to the next. Of course, they would take Prabhupada's instructions according to their personalities. So one manager, he started to enforce every devotee had to be 1 hour a day in the kirtan. And, of course, the leaders and the followers, we all had to do it because they were telling us what we had to do. So we all had to chant 1 hour, a minimum 1 hour a day in the kirtan. But then the devotees started to object that, Prabhu, I'm already doing so many hours of service, I just can't do anymore. So then the leaders brought that to Prabhupada, that they're refusing to go to 24-hour kirtan. So Prabhupada was a very practical person. He said, if they're already engaged in service, then they don't have to go to the 24-hour kirtan. His point was, if you're not engaged in service, then you go to the 24-hour kirtan, because always we must be engaged in service. So then Prabhupada set up the framework that he wanted for 24-hour kirtan. He said that there should be 4 batches, 6 men each. 3 hours in the morning, let's say from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. That's four batches, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. 4 batches, 3 hours. That's 12 hours. So each batch chants for 3 hours. Then again, the same 4 batches chant for 3 hours in the evening. So in that way, each batch would chant 6 hours. Now, it took half an hour for the devotees to figure that out. 8, 12, 16, they just couldn't get it straight. So finally, it was all clear, this is what Prabhupada wanted. The 3 hours, morning and evening, each batch. I don't know what the devotees do, but that was what Prabhupada's program was. They do the same thing? Oh, they changed the timings. All right. So this is all signed and sealed, what Prabhupada wanted. And who should engage in that? Everyone who lives here should engage in that, unless you have too much service and you can't sit down and chant. But he did want at least 1 hour a day that devotees come for the kirtan. This is not by force. No one's going to drag you. This has to be done out of love, because this is what Prabhupada wanted all the residents to do. Not only the residents, he wanted the visitors to voluntarily engage in service. He said, what is the question? When they come here, of course they should want to do service. And if they don't want to do service, they should be respectful, paying guests in the guest house. So next we come to the guest house. We'll discuss that. What was Prabhupada's vision for the guest house? Because it wasn't only the temple that Prabhupada built. He also built the Sri Krishna Balaram International Guest House. It was an integral part of the project. Prabhupada's vision of the guest house was for guests. He wanted the guests to stay in the guest house. He did not want any devotees to stay in the guest house. Is that clear? 10 letters you can find. Why are the devotees staying in the guest house? Clear out the guest house. It is an abominable situation. It must be clean, silent. One other thing. He wanted the devotees out of the guest house so that the guests who come here could stay in the guest house and our life members. That was the promise given to the life members, that they would be allowed to stay 3 days for free. So that has been failure since day one. Unfortunately, we have a lot to work on in the guest house. He did not want the devotees staying there. 44 rooms we started with. How many rooms are now being given to the guests? No one wants to admit. So, somehow or other, as always, as Prabhupada was saying since 1975, we must clear out the guest house so the guests can stay there. But Prabhupada had bigger plans. He said that we should have a European preaching center. The European preaching center was for all of the foreign tourists and hippies who wander into Vrindavan. And he wanted a core group of devotees to take care of these foreign visitors, to take them around on tours. Abhiram Prabhu is trying to do that. He gave a lot of these instructions to Dhananjaya, who was number two. We had two co-presidents then. He told Dhananjaya even that we should have yoga classes in the guest house to attract the foreigners. Prabhupada was interested. There were already 5,000 temples in Vrindavan for the Indians. He wanted this temple to be to preach to, as in our line, the fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. So since they were coming here, he wanted it organized. He wanted some of our devotees to become official government tour guides so that we could actually take the people around officially and we would get recognition from the government. So that was another plan of Prabhupada. He said that this would also help us with getting our visas. He wanted, 3 times Prabhupada told us, he said, you should all learn Hindi and become citizens. Every time there were more than 10 people in the room with Prabhupada, he would tell us that he would just look at us. He would say, you should all learn Hindi and become citizens. So Prabhupada had a plan. He told us, this was specifically when one of his servants, Upendra, he decided to bring his family of his wife and two children to come to Vrindavan. Prabhupada was very happy. He said, I want as many devotees to stay here permanently and become Brijbasis. So he wanted the devotees to live here permanently, engage in service, bring their families here. Okay, so then the next is Grihasthas versus Brahmachari Sannyasis. We have 7 minutes. Srila Prabhupada said, and it's not just said, he wrote it, he wanted the Vrindavan temple to be primarily for brahmacharis and sannyasis. And the grihasthas who lived here, he wanted them to live like goswamis. He specifically invited all those grihasthas over 50 years of age to enter vanaprast and come here and live a retired life and engage in service. At that time, when Prabhupada spoke about that, most of his disciples were in their mid-20s. None of us dreamed that any of us would live to the age of 50. Even to be 30 years old, you were considered old in those days. So when Prabhupada talked about retiring at the age of 50, none of us knew who he was talking about. But Prabhupada did have some followers who were 50 and older. One of them, Brahmananda Prabhu mentioned, his name was Pranav. Pranav and Vanamalini, they had joined in Calcutta and come here to help Prabhupada. They were over 50. They were the only ones we had. And they used to live in the guest house together, husband and wife, because Prabhupada told, you know, said, come here, live as vanaprastas. Now, Prabhupada went away just after the grand opening. He had to go do his touring around the world. He came back in August of 1975. He came back to correct all of the mistakes that we hadn't corrected at the grand opening. And it was brought to his attention that Pranav and his wife were living in the guest house in the same room. Prabhupada absolutely stopped it. He said, anyone living here on the property cannot live together as husband and wife. They must live separately. He said they can live in the rooms next to each other, but they cannot live together. So when Pranav and his wife heard this, they moved out. So this was the principle that Prabhupada set for us very early in the movement. If you're going to live here as husband and wife on the property, you live separately, a renounced life, a retired life, not together. Then Prabhupada made an arrangement. Now, what were the women going to do here? Prabhupada did not want us to have the deity's outfits sewn by professionals. He wanted the women to sew the deity outfits. He said the women can be engaged in sewing, in flower business, in cooking, in helping with the cooking, in cutting the vegetables. This is what the women were intended to do. And the women could stay in one room together in the guest house. So that's how we lived. We lived in one room, and we engaged in service. There was a time when we had a Mukut business here. There she is. Moksha Lakshmi. She was the head of the Mukut business. Now, after all of the women, in 1976, when the Taparia house was donated by one life member in Bombay, Prabhupada decided that all of the women and children should move over to the Taparia house, which is our Goshala, and the women should be engaged in the Mukut business. Moksha Lakshmi had come from Bombay, and she was put in charge of the Mukut business. why don't you tell us how that went? Can someone give her a...
It was very successful in that we made outfits for the temples all over America and Europe. And from that, we were able to make free outfits for Krishna and Balaram. So it was a very successful
How endeavor. Many years did it go on?
Well, I did it for at least five, I think, if not more. And then after me, Omkara did it. And then I think Vidya did it. And then I think Ishani did it. And that's when it went off to... you know, devotees that weren't doing it for Krishna and Balaram's benefit, but for their own benefit.
Right.
But that's pretty much how it went, I think.
And in the very beginning, in 1975, we personally were making the outfits, you know, like you see, you can go to the Mukutwalas and you see the tables with the jari. We were sitting at the tables and doing it. That might have been before you came.
I also learned how to do the whole lot.
Yes.
I've still got the pieces I made.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in my trunks at home. But actually, sewing makes you happy.
Yes, right.
I always say to my husband, I said, sewing, it just makes you happy. Of all the services I've had, and I've had a variety of services, sewing makes you happy.
Okay. All right, so the time is up. Are there any questions? We'll all take our brooms and plows and get to work now. Yes, we go. Yes? They're bringing you. Oh, yes. We didn't have time to talk about what to do with the children.
It's a nice experience to hear all about Prabhupada and the temple arrangement.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. If we have a deity at home and we are serving them and cleaning the temple, is it the same or we have to come and clean it here only?
Oh, that's an age-old question. I asked Prabhupada that question. First of all, Prabhupada described three types of grihasthas. The first class grihastha is when the husband and wife live in the temple separately and are engaged in full-time service to the deities in the temple. That's first-class grihastha. Second-class grihastha is when they live out of the temple together and come and do service for the deities in the temple. Third-class grihastha is when you live out of the temple and you have your own private deities and you do worship in your home. So when you become a grihastha, first, you have to decide what class of grihastha you would like to be. First class, second class, third class. So that can answer your question in the sense that maybe you want to bring your standard up a little more. So my question to Prabhupada was, because when we came here, there were no temples in India. There wasn't a single temple constructed. There were construction sites. There were devotees, there were deities being worshipped in shacks, but no temples. And the service that Prabhupada gave my husband and myself was he told us to travel all over India and put his books in the schools and libraries, which meant we didn't even have the association of the devotees. We had nothing. And traveling was very difficult in those days. No money. We would go second class unreserved all over India. And it was difficult. So we made our first two trips all over North India, then part of South India, and we came back to Prabhupada. And I asked my husband, please, I'm missing the deities and the devotees so much. Ask him if we can have some traveling deities of our own to worship. So my husband didn't want to ask, but I kept pushing him. So on one morning walk, he asked Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, because we're traveling all the time, would we be allowed to have our own little our own deities? And Prabhupada, he became angry. And he looked at him and he stopped walking. And he said, my books are your deities. They are Shabda Brahman, transcendental sound vibration. You worship my books. So for those of you who live outside or don't live near a temple, you can worship Prabhupada's books. Now, it took me years to I was a young kid then. What does it mean, worship my books? Do we put chutters on them? Do we offer them prasadam? Now, it has taken me 40 years to understand what it means to worship Prabhupada's books. Developing a personal relationship with Prabhupada's books means reading them, realizing what's there, executing what's there in your life, and then giving those books, those deities, to other people. That's why you'll always see me trying to distribute Prabhupada's books. I'm giving these deities to other people. Now, there's more about the businesses that Prabhupada wanted to set up, the book distribution, but time is over, so please forgive me. Next year, we can continue. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare.